You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
All right, good afternoon. This is Paul.
And I'm Sherry.
And we are in Alaska, babe.
We've been here for a while, babe.
We have been here, and it is cold.
Yes. Well, you know, it's funny. It's interesting. We were just talking with a couple, as I was getting a cup of coffee the other day, and the gentleman proceeded to tell me that I always think, you know, when the sun's shining, because we're from the lower 48 in the south, and
right.
When the sun is shining, it's typically warmer.
Right.
But here in Alaska, I was informed that when it's really cold and the sun is shining, it's actually a colder feel. And the reason is because we don't have the cloud cover to keep in the warmth, which is very, would have never guessed that.
Wow.
So anyway, we're in beautiful, sunny Alaska right now. And it is very cold.
I literally feel like I'm sitting next to Bill Nye the Science Guy.
You're a dork. Come on now.
Okay, well, that was glorious.
But no, most people would think that. And you even thought that
true.
Too. We're like, well, it's sunny. It should be warmer out.
Oh, good.
It
the sun's
cold.
Out. It's going to be warm. Yeah,
no,
and then it ends up being colder.
Freezing.
Anyways, yeah, it's cold. And so by the time this podcast goes live, I will be gone for a while. We're going to be gone for several weeks. And we're going to be up north. Northern part of Alaska doing some training, and it right now it's like negative 50 there, so I'm not looking forward to that.
And
actually,
hopefully there's cloud cover, right?
I know. I hope a lot of clouds, yeah. I know. I actually am kind of looking forward to it because I feel
like
I've never been that cold in my life,
yeah. I don't care to be that cold,
and it'll be a cool experience, it'll be a cool story. I think someday I'll tell my kids, be like, see why my fingertips are black,
yeah. Okay, I hope that's not the case.
No, yeah, I hope I don't get frostbite, that'd be terrible. So anyways, hey, well, welcome to First Half Parenting. I do want to just take just a minute. This is our part three in our three-part series on money. But I do want to take just a minute. Babe, you and I were talking about this the other day. You know, the whole idea behind First Half Parenting is to help parents enjoy the parenting process, to give them some tools, to give them ideas, to shape, so that they can shape their kids. And I think the thing for me is I see, you know, particularly in this context, in a military context, I see men and women who are great leaders. You know, they can lead hundreds and even thousands of soldiers into combat. They can lead them into difficult and very demanding scenarios. They're great leaders. But then they go home and they're almost incapacitated by a toddler because they just haven't figured it out how to parent well. And it's hard. Like, parenting is difficult. And so, you know, for us, the idea is, hey, we've done it. We've done it six times with six different personalities. Our kids are not perfect. We're not perfect, but we learned some lessons. And we've studied in massive amounts of time spent into reading books, listening to podcasts, going to seminars, talking with parents who've been great parents and created great kids. And along the way, we've learned some things that work. We've also learned some things that haven't worked. And so the whole idea behind this podcast is to really help parents enjoy and get into the parenting process and actually do it fairly well. So I guess I just wanted to just say that because that's what we were talking about the other day. And I'll just kind of tee off with that.
Yep.
That's it?
You did it.
Okay. All right. Well, babe. Hopefully you're more talkative than that throughout this podcast. Good Lord.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about it, babe. We are talking about money. And what are we going to talk about specifically today, babe?
We're going to talk about the third part of it, and that is spending.
Spending. Yep. Mm-hmm. So let's just do a little bit of review. You know, one of the things we've talked about every time we've kind of opened up with a quote from Beth Kobliner. She wrote a book called Make Your Kids a Money Genius, Even If You're Not. And she said, parents are the number one influence on their children's financial behavior. So it's up to us to raise a generation of mindful consumers, investors, savers, and givers. Like, Dad, you are, Mom, you are the most significant force in your child's life when it comes to shaping how they think about and conduct themselves financially. It's a big deal. And so what we have realized is that our kids are either going to be like us or they're going to realize, I don't want to be like Dad and Mom, and I'm going to have to figure out another way. So we would rather just give them a good example. And so that's what we've been talking about. One of the things we realized is that Years ago, I heard Dave Ramsey say, if you read through the book of Proverbs and you write down everything it has to say about money, you will have the equivalent of a master's degree in finance. And so I did that. Again, I don't contend to have a master's degree in finance, but I did learn a lot, and it's been incredibly helpful for us as we've shaped our kids' financial paradigm. And so this series that we're in has been built around the things that we've drawn from Proverbs. And there's basically, it's a four-part paradigm. When it comes to money, you earn it, give it, save it, and spend it. Earn it, give it, save it, spend it. And that's what we've taught our kids for the entirety of their life. And they know that, right? So in podcast number 9, we talked about earn it, and that was all about work. I mean, the bottom line is, if you do not teach your kids how to work, you're raising kids who will become adults who are broke, right? So the significance of teaching your kids how to work, and babe, in there we talked about a three-part plan to teach your kids how to work. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we basically said that first off, we have to model that, right? As parents, it's important for us to show our kids that. Actions speak louder than words. So if we don't model that for them, they probably will do what we model.
Yeah.
So we want to model it. The second one is we want to expect it. We want to make sure that they're doing their job. You know, they're working. Like, we expect you live in the house, we expect you to contribute, to be a part of working. And it's not, you just don't get to just be in the house just to be in the house. So
yeah, and in that, we talked in podcast number 9, we talked about the difference between, like, there are some things you do just because you're alive. Like,
yes.
I'm not going to pay you to make your bed. I'm not going to pay you to clean up your toys. Those are things you do because you're alive. You're a human, right? And so but we talked about there are some things you do that will provide you with opportunity to make money.
Yes.
And so we expect that you will be taking advantage of those opportunities.
And we, like, just reviewing, I think both of those are important.
Absolutely.
It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so expect it. And then number 3, you need to reward it. I mean, we don't, most of us go through life, and I mean, this is how we live. We get a paycheck. And so there is reward for our work. And I think that parents, you know, need to reward as well. Like, we need to show our kids, hey, when you work, when you do a really good job and you go up above and beyond, sometimes you get more than what you thought. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just think that, you know, just helping them to see a great work ethic and then rewarding it is just really, really great.
Yep. So that was podcast number 9. We talked about teaching your kids to earn it. Mm-hmm. And we talked about work in that podcast. And then in podcast number 10, we talked about the second two parts of this paradigm, and that is give it and save it.
Right.
And in there, we talked a lot about generosity, planning for generosity. And if you missed that podcast, it would be worth going back, because we talked about a lot about the connection between generosity and happiness.
Yes.
There's a lot of people in our world who are missing the joy of generosity. And so, you know, there's even some scientific research, and we referred to it in that podcast, about the fact that generous people, it has both mental and physical connotations. Like, it can significantly impact you mentally and physically.
Yes.
So it's a big deal.
Yep.
And then we talked about saving in podcast number 10. It's just so unfortunate that so many people are living literally paycheck to paycheck. They just have no money.
Yeah.
Right. And so if an emergency happens, which it will, you know, and I remember once we were talking, like, when you have nothing saved, everything's an emergency.
Right.
You know, like a flat tire is
Murphy's
an emergency.
Law, right?
Yeah. I mean, everything becomes an emergency. But I want my kids to be able to retire with no concerns, with no fear, with no stress. Right. So that's thinking long term. They're not thinking long term. So it's my job as a parent to help them to begin to think that. So earn it, give it, save it, spend it. And then today, we're going to talk about spending it.
Yep.
And we're going to touch on debt a little bit, too. That ought to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big deal, right?
I mean, very cool.
There's quite a bit of statistics on debt.
There are.
Right now.
This is not good statistics, either.
No, unfortunately, it's not.
So, I mean, here's the thing about spending. It takes most of what we earn.
Yeah.
In podcast number 10, we talked about the 10-10-80 principle, where you earn it, so you get all of what you earn, right? And then you give it. So that's your generosity, that's your taxes, that's your tithe, right? So you give it, and then you give 10, you save 10, right? And then you spend 80.
Right.
All right. Again, we are not certified financial planners. So, I mean, you're going to want to get more into depth and break that down a little further with your plans and with your financial planner. But we're talking about just the basic principles for kids, teaching them the give, save, spend principle. So 80% is the lion's share of what we earn. And I remember Dave Ramsey said one time, he said, it's human nature to want it and want it now. But it's also a sign of immaturity. I want it now. And the problem is, babe, a lot of adults actually just do that. They just go get it now, even if they don't have the money. Right?
Absolutely.
And that, and, yeah, and so they're showing their kids, like, this is how we handle money. Even if we don't have it, we go get it now.
Well, and they've learned that from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? If they're, if our parents raised us in such a way where it was like, no, we have to save for this. I mean, for the most part, right?
Right.
The children pick up on that, and they understand the idea of let's save. That's a good feeling. And if their parents taught them as they were growing up that feeling, right, of, hey, man, there's reward when I save. Like, it feels so good to take my cash in. I don't have to pay any interest, you know, like if they're buying a car.
Right.
You know, just whatever. I feel like if the parents do not teach the kids that feeling, that sense of pride and that sense of reward, then debt will obviously be passed on. And
when I think about the whole spending because I want it now, even if I don't have it, I'm gonna go get it now. I'm gonna put it on credit. I'm gonna go into debt for it.
Yeah.
I was saying about that. You know, I mean, kids throw a fit when they don't get what they want.
Right.
You know, they just throw a fit. Adults don't throw fits. They just go into debt. You know what I'm saying? If a kid doesn't get what he wants, he just like starts screaming and carrying on. If an adult doesn't get what he wants, he or she will just go pull out a credit card and they'll go into debt. And honestly, it might be better to just throw a fit. You know what I'm saying?
Just throw yourself on the floor, yeah, and kick your feet around for a while, right?
Scream a little bit and then just go home. You know what I'm saying?
That's hysterical. We should make a video on that one, babe.
No, I'm going to leave that to Chris and Shantae Kiefer over at, what is it, Two Parents and a Mic. They would do that. That's funny.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it.
But the truth is, I know there have been years in the early part of our marriage where we did that.
And we threw fits?
We did throw fits. And then,
Okay.
We bought things that we didn't have the money, for which we didn't have the money. And,
yes. Well, it feels, so the truth is, you know, like, it feels good. I think sometimes when you're, and we've talked about this a little bit, when you are struggling financially,
yes,
like, it just feels good to just go do something and enjoy it and then try to figure out. But what you don't understand is that short little bit of gratification turns into a lot of stress, anxiety, pulling your hair out. I mean, it's just not worth it.
We worked, so we became familiar with Dave Ramsey, and we worked his plan for like years and years and years and years. And the reason is because we would do really, really good. And then we'd be like, man, we've been living so tight. We've been just really, really keeping, you know, checking our dollars, and we've really been on point. Let's just take a little break. We kind of deserve a little break. Deserve. All right, we deserve a little break, and then we just go and go crazy and almost undo months of what we had just of the work we had just accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And because we felt like we deserve this, we've been working so hard, we deserve this. And that ideology, I mean, it delayed our progress, I would say, for years to some extent. I mean, we finally just said, hey, we don't deserve anything. I mean, so Suze Orman, I love this. She said, what you deserve is irrelevant. What you can truly afford is all that counts. I mean, that's pretty doggone significant. What you deserve is irrelevant. And it's true. And so, again, I know there were years where we would just be like, man, we've been working so hard. We've been doing so good. We deserve this. And we would do it. And it was just like a throat punch to our financial plan.
So, I mean, and imagine, I mean, our kids were very little at that point. So they didn't really catch the drift of what was happening because they were so young.
Right.
But imagine if they were like elementary to middle school and we lived like that.
Right.
You know, they would definitely they would definitely catch that. Hey, you know, we're going to go, and especially if you're just like, we're, you know, trying to get out of debt, we're trying to save some money, and then you just all of a sudden go splurge, and you're just like, well, we're just going to have a good time today. You know, right. It really kind of undoes what you as a parent are trying to teach your child. So I think it's really important that, this thing of deserving is just, you just got to squash that.
just to quote Suze Orman, I mean, this is big. What you deserve is irrelevant. What you can truly afford is all that counts.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, Dad, Mom, like, you're spending, you're doing it in front of your child. You are teaching your child how to spend because they're watching. And their understanding of money is going to be built around what they see.
And so I think, you know, I just want to capitalize on this moment here for a minute, because I know, so you can't spend something that you don't have, right? So, I mean, for us, the game changer in that whole process was the only way we could buy something was with the cash in our hands, right?
Yeah.
That was the game changer. And if there was not cash, so we just basically went to a cash envelope system. So every time you got paid for our, you know, for the, like, for groceries or for, you know, just those spending things, not so much bills because they were paid, but just that extra spending that could put you in debt, we literally took out the cash.
Yeah.
We eliminated the ability to say, I deserve this.
Well, and we did that for our kids too. So
right.
we gave them, I think we talked about this last time, we gave them envelopes, right? So they had an earn it envelope. Mm-hmm. So every Friday we'd sit down with them and we'd put the money they earned, they'd count it out, and then we'd put it in their earn it envelope. But then they would have to put 10% in their give it envelope,
mm-hmm.
and they'd have to put 10% in their save it envelope.
Right.
And then they put 80% in their spend it envelope. And so every time we'd go out, they would take their spend it envelope.
Right.
And when that was empty, it was empty. You've got no more. And they're like, but I've got some more money in my save it envelope. And we're like, right.
But it's not in your
spend it.
That's
not money for spending. That's money to be saved. And then, another thing, just quick, we would take that save it money. We would actually put it into like a little savings account for them. And then every month I would print out their interest statement and let them see like, hey, look, you are getting money because you have money.
Right.
And so we taught them the power of interest that way, which was kind of fun. But the idea of spending cash was big. When the envelope's empty, right. Your spending's done.
Right. And I think that's kind of why I get mad. Like, you just see more and more of that. I mean, we're just targeting young kids with, like, the credit card, you know, and it's just so frustrating to me as a parent, because that and Amazon, right? Where it's like everything is now you pay on your phone or you click a button on the computer or...
Oh, it's so easy.
It's becoming like really difficult to just the whole cash in the envelope. So, I mean, I just know sometimes if we have to go hardcore, I will literally go, okay, it's the cash in the envelope. Like, if we really want to get laser focused, because the truth is when the cash is, when it's done, it's done. Like, we're not doing anything else. And there are multiple times we would say to our kids, hey, like, they'd want to go to dinner, remember? They'd be like, let's just go out to eat, like, after church.
Yeah.
And we'd look at the envelope for the dinner envelope and be like, there's no money in the dinner envelope. And so they were like, really? So I think teaching them there, we were teaching them that, you know what, you don't deserve it if you don't have it. You deserve what's in the envelope, right?
Yeah.
It's yours to use then. So
I think, just a quick note, like, we're talking about cash and envelopes, and that is a way that's worked for us. Dave Ramsey teaches it. It's worked for us.
Sure.
And we embrace that. It's not the only way. All right.
No,
there
are
other ways.
People use funds. Like, they put money in funds.
You know, and we would, because sometimes the kids would say, like, when we would say, hey, we don't have money to go out and eat, they would say, are we broke? Are we poor? I'd be like, no, absolutely not. It's just we don't have that money in the envelope, or
right.
we don't have that money in the line item, because
right.
we've used that money already.
Right.
We've got lots of money in other places, but it's not, the restaurant line item is gone.
But I think for kids, I mean, I do want to bring this back around. I think for kids to grab hold of the whole cash idea, envelopes are the way to go for kids.
No, you're right.
Because the truth is, it would be way more difficult for a small child to understand. Oh,
a
there's,
line item in Excel
there's nothing in that. Yeah, like, you literally, I mean, it does go back to envelopes or something to that, where you can divide their money into three physical, tangible categories for them to see, for you to teach them, is very valuable. It is time consuming. We spent a lot of time with our children every weekend.
Right.
Doing that. But in the end, I feel like the amount of time that seemed like a lot is now going to pay off great benefits.
Oh, it's great. I mean, because now our kids are 21 to 12.
Yeah.
And we actually see it worked.
They're handling money.
It worked. Yeah. Because now they're all on their own, earning, giving, saving, spending. Like, and it's great to see it. It worked. And yeah. So that's why we're so passionate about this, Dad and Mom. Because we know this stuff works. So, hey, listen, let me just say this to you. If you're spending more than you make, you're not doing it alone. You're doing it in front of your kids. And you're teaching them how to live financially reckless lives. That's a strong statement, but I stand by it. If you're consistently spending more money than you make, you are teaching your children how to live financially reckless. And ultimately, you're taking them from what you're taking from them. This is important. You're taking from them what good people leave to their children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
And inheritance.
Right.
You're spending their future. We get so pissed off all the time at people in Washington because we say, you're spending our kids' future. And yet we go and do the same thing.
Yeah.
We do the very same thing we yell at our politicians for doing. You're spending the future generation's money. You're putting us so deep into debt, but we do the same thing. Yeah. And so I would simply say, Dad and Mom, listen. Man, if you're spending all that you make, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, please do something drastic. Make a change for the sake of your children. Make a change. If you don't know what to do, listen, go to Financial Peace University class. You know, sit down with a friend who's figured this out. They figured out how to earn and give and save and spend well. You know, create a budget. Cut some expenses. Get drastic if you have to, but do something. Because your kids are watching, and they're going to be what they see. So that's a big deal. Spending.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Let's talk about debt for a little bit. We kind of have already implicitly talked about it. Let's talk about it a little bit. Yeah. So I mean, when we first got married, we've said it before. Like my parents, I mean, I love them. God bless them. But they never really talked about money ever. And just didn't certainly do it publicly. I think your parents may have been a little better.
Yeah, my parents did. I mean, I remember my parents sitting down and doing a budget every Saturday or just looking at their money every Saturday. And I remember, I mean, my mom would sit down and talk about, like, the checkbook with me. And so I did have a way better grasp. Like, I knew to balance a checkbook. I knew just all of those important details that I think that you lacked.
Yeah, no, I didn't know. Wasn't discussed.
Consequently, you brought home the money and I took care of the budget. But at the same time, it was very difficult because we weren't on the same page. And that's a big deal for parents to be on the same page.
Jeez,
you know, financially, yeah. Like if we're not setting a budget, you know, I would set the budget and you really didn't have any like say in it because you didn't know what to do.
Show up. No, I had no say because I didn't show up.
Well, I don't even know that you would know what to really do at that point. You know, you've never been taught that.
And then when I did, you would say, hey, here's how we spend what we have.
Right.
And then I would just go spend more than what we had and get mad at you.
Yeah. You're like, I bring home the money and you know,
it was,
so it just, I think
not a great,
what was a learning
season.
Experience? Yeah. You didn't like, we were trying to bring two different households together and one didn't know and one kind of knew, you know?
Yeah.
So it was very, very difficult. And then I think, you know, finally when we got on board together about our finances, that's when the big shift changed, right? I mean,
what happened? I picked up Dave Ramsey's book, The
yeah.
Total Money Makeover, and
yeah.
I read it, and it changed my life. It changed our life. It changed our kids' lives.
It's now, I was going to say, it's now changing. It will change forever our generation of our family because of picking up that book.
So, but when we first got married, you know, for instance, student loans were a big thing. I mean, I remember we would go out, we'd get as much money as we could for student loan, and we would, you know, we'd put it on student loans, and then we'd go, you know, use the rest. We'd, you know, buy some furniture, or we would take a trip. And I remember saying, like, God is so good to us, right? Like, look at the life that we're living. And now, in hindsight, I'm like, God was probably saying, "Fool, that's not me. I have nothing to do with that," because we got a lot. We got my student loans got us in a lot of debt. We really had to work. Man, we had to work. Oh, my gosh. if we would have done our finances differently, if we would not have had debt, oh my gosh, we'd be in such a different place right now. Such a better place. And our kids won't be there because we figured it out. This debt thing is poison, right?
And God willing. I mean, they still have, I mean, this is what we say. You know, our kids have free will, free choice. Yeah, yeah. But they have the knowledge. We have passed on the knowledge. And we've passed on, I think, like you were saying, some of the feeling of debt. Like, debt is not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, our kids had to, they were, you know, they were older and had to experience what that felt like when we would be like, nope, there's no eating out for a while, you know, or nope, there. I mean, I remember one Christmas we took, we didn't want to, well, we really didn't, because we were living on our budget so tightly, we really didn't want to spend a lot at Christmas time. And so we actually told the kids, we're like, okay, we're going to do something. We're going to have Christmas, but it's going to look really different this year.
Yeah.
And that is, we went and we remade their rooms.
Yeah.
And we did it very, very, very cost effective.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that. We painted their rooms. They each got to go and pick out the color of paint for their rooms.
Yeah, and we did.
We actually had a great Christmas, but it was very
but
cheap.
It was, like, but yeah. It was way different, and it was, I mean, it was cool for them to walk in and see their rooms, and they looked amazing, but Christmas looked different because of the school loans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that just...
That debt. Well, I always like to say, like, your personal finances have public consequences. So you might be, well, my finances are personal. No, it's not. Like, your decision about debt, about spending, will absolutely affect your family. It'll affect your spouse. It'll affect your children. It'll affect your grandchildren and on. Your personal finances have public consequences.
Well, I mean, right. I mean, because even, like, you could say I'm single right now. I mean, this is a parent podcast, but... If you're single, you know, if your kids are single and you come into, as a parent, you have raised a single child.
Right.
What was I going to say? They can bring debt into a relationship, right?
Yeah.
And that, again, is just a lot of undue stress, a lot of work, a lot of, you know, when you bring that in, because maybe that person wasn't on the same page as you were. So
there's so many things you can't do when you're debt. So I mean,
it
think
does
about
have public
this.
Consequence.
When you're in debt, you're forced to pay more. You have to. I mean, so mm-hmm. I mean, you're not gonna. Instead of paying $1,000, you're probably gonna pay like what, $1,200 now over the course of time with interest and whatnot.
Right.
You're forced to pay more. You're forced to work longer. You have to make difficult decisions that you wouldn't have to make if you were debt free. Because of debt, your stress level is up. Your peace is virtually non-existent. I mean, debt is a massive stress inducer, right? You can't do what you want to do, and you have to do what you don't want to do because you're in debt.
Right.
And I'll just say, Dad and Mom, first of all, debt is a massive cause of divorce.
Yes.
Like, just the financial disagreements is
huge...
Well,
and fights. Like,
yeah.
I mean, huge fights.
And it affects your kids. Wouldn't it be better to live in a home where there's a plan, where we earn it, give it, save it, spend it, and we stay out of debt, and we teach our kids to do the same thing.
Right.
Right. I probably all of you have heard this. I mean, or most of you have probably heard this verse. It's Solomon in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. He says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it." Train a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't turn from it. Do you know what the very next verse says? Babe, you want to read it?
I do know what it says.
I know. Why don't you go ahead and just let us know what it says, babe?
It's pretty crazy, but it says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender."
Isn't that crazy?
When you shared that with me, I was like, oh my word.
It's almost like Solomon was saying, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Like, the way you teach your kids when they're small, when they're old, it'll still be impacting their life. In the very next verse, he talks about money. He talks about debt. If your children believe that debt is normal, there's a high probability that they'll grow up indebted to someone else. And this is massive. The borrower is a servant to the lender.
Yeah.
I want my children to be free. I don't want them to be in debt to anyone. I won't want them to owe anyone anything. I want them to be able to do whatever they want to do.
Right.
Because they've figured out a good financial paradigm.
Right.
And they've stayed away from debt.
Yeah.
That's massive.
It is big.
No. This fires me up. You fired up, babe?
Well, I think we're fired up because we've been through a lot of
We're
that.
Such, yeah, no, we're at a better, we're at a place now where, you know, I wish we were at this place when our kids were young.
But then we couldn't.
But then we wouldn't have these scars, right? And the man with a scar knows something.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Robert Kiyosaki, he's written a great book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He says, he talks about the significance of parents teaching their kids about debt and financial practices. He writes, one of the reasons the rich get richer and the poor get poorer and the middle class struggle in debt is because the subject of money is taught at home, not in school.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this. He said, most of us learn about money from our parents. So what can a poor parent tell their child about money? They simply say, stay in school and study hard. The child may graduate with excellent grades, but with a poor person's financial programming and mindset. It was learned while the child was young. Money is not taught in schools. Schools focus on scholastic and professional skills, but not on financial skills. And this next line is huge. This explains how smart bankers, doctors, and accountants who earned excellent grades in school may still struggle financially all their lives.
Yes.
I mean, you can raise your child to have great grades and even make great income, but if you don't teach them how to handle their money well,
yes,
they're just going to be an in-debt doctor.
Yes. They're more of what they are.
They're just going to be a broke pilot.
Right.
Right? And so wouldn't it be significant if at a young age we begin to teach our children how to earn it, give it, save it, spend it? If we begin to teach our children how to avoid debt and how to accumulate wealth.
Yes.
So they don't have to wait until they're 40 years old to figure this crap out. That would be so big.
Yeah.
So this is our experience. Your child is not naturally good with money. Somebody's got to teach them.
Yes.
Right? Some people have a greater proclivity towards savings.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And those people, you have to teach generosity. You have to encourage generosity.
Typically, you're not the well-rounded. You're one or the other. So it's,
and some people are like, just give, and you have to teach them how to save, right? And some people are just like, I'm just going to spend everything I have.
Yeah.
And you have to teach them how to, you know, again, give and save. And so your job as a parent, and we talked about this in an earlier podcast about having a PhD in your child. Your job as a parent is to understand your child's natural way.
Yes.
And then teach them how to handle their finances accordingly.
Right.
And this is what Proverbs says. Raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Every child has a way. Your job is to find that way. All right? Now, all right, babe. Some things that we've done that have worked for us. How have we kind of got out of our financial... Like, when we first got started, we're like, holy crap, we don't know how to do this. And we started working our financial plan. We started teaching some kids, all of our kids, how to handle finances. How do we start digging out of our own financial brokenness? Some things that we did that might be helpful for the people that are listening right now.
Well, I mean, we talked a little bit about it. Obviously, we do a coin and calendar meeting. And when we first started it, it was very important for us to do that coin and calendar every week because we needed to stay... very, like, even if it was just a check-in but just to stay connected, that we're not spending where we're not supposed to, or we're, you know, it's following the plan. So that was a really big deal for us. We needed to stay.
And we still do that. We still do that every week.
Yeah, I like to stay on top of our finances.
Yeah. Well, it's not as hard as it used to be.
No, definitely not.
Because we're at a better place now financially.
But just staying within the parameters and, you know, it feels good to stay with what you've allotted and what you said you're going to do. So,
yeah, no, it's, so that
was
would be,
big.
I would just say to mom and dad, and you guys need to do this together, schedule a meeting where you sit down every week and talk about your money. And let me just tell you something right now. This may not be the most fun meeting you have all week, but it might be the most important one.
Yeah.
Sit down every week and have a conversation about your money, because it's going to affect not only you, not only your joy levels, your peace levels. Could potentially diminish stress. It could save your marriage, all of those things, but it is going to shape your children's future.
Yes.
So talk about your money.
Yep.
All right.
We read some, I mean, definitely dove into some books, right?
Yeah. Read some great books. Again, we keep going back to this, but for us, a game changer was Total Money Makeover.
Right.
And we still, I mean, that was maybe first time I read it was maybe, what, 15 years ago?
I think you read it 15 years ago. You dove into it. I didn't typically read the book. I think I've read bits and pieces of it, but I've since then obviously read the book through. But
yeah.
I think, and then honestly, for me, listening to Dave Ramsey's podcast.
That was big.
I mean, you can listen to this. I still do it. I will be washing dishes and have his podcast on, or I'll be cleaning through the house, or sometimes just driving to pick up kids from school. And
hi guys.
What's up, Les?
And
what's that?
You know, listening to that helps keep us focused, helps keep us on track, and it's also a great learning tool. I mean, I've learned just so much from what he has to share and just the different situations on there. So definitely like his Dave Ramsey's podcast, and there are other podcasts as well. I think you're listening to one.
Oh, I listen to Bigger Pockets. Yeah, Bigger Pockets. That's been important for me.
So, but those are.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is there's a million resources out there. You know, a couple others. The Richest Man of Babylon.
Is what, the book?
Yeah, yeah, George Clausen. It's an old book, but it's an absolute classic. You should read it. You should absolutely read it.
I think we've mentioned like Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
And I think, doesn't Dave Ramsey's daughter,
Rachel Cruz has... Yeah, they wrote a book called Smart Money, Smart Kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely worth reading. The Millionaire Next Door.
Yep.
Thomas Stanley and William Danko, absolutely great read. But the point is, there's a lot of resources. I will tell you this too. It is worth your energy to pick up the book of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. You can literally read a chapter a day. Grab yourself a little notebook. And every time, so on Monday, you read chapter 1. And anything in there that says about money, write it down in your little notebook. Mm-hmm. By the time you get to the end of Proverbs chapter 31, you can read it in a month. You will have accumulated so much insight on finances. That was an important process for me too. It helped to kind of shape our financial paradigm, was reading through and writing down everything that Proverbs had to say about money. Another thing I would tell you is, you know, find an older, wiser couple who's done well with money and just ask them if you can buy coffee, you know, and ask them a million questions.
I feel like sometimes around this whole idea, people are maybe ashamed to go to somebody and, you know, just say, hey, I need some help. And I feel like you don't want to do that when you're 70. You want to do that when you're 25, 30, like as early as you can. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Just somebody that you look up to, that their finances are in order, go to them and just say, can you give me some time? And just, I think it's so important.
And ask questions. Yeah. And then listen, when a mentor is talking to you, listen. Don't talk. Ask questions. Be quiet. And when they start talking, take notes. And then do the things they say, you know?
Yes.
It's a big deal. So listen, I want to just give you one more proverb from Solomon. And this is the result of my reading through Proverbs and writing down everything he had to say about money. It's a reminder to have a plan and to stick with it. And we've given you a plan. Earn it, give it, save it, spend it. And we've talked about the 10-10-80 principle, right? Give 10, save 10, live on 80.
Okay.
Now it's up to you to apply that plan. If you don't like that plan, that's fine. Get your own plan. But get a plan, right? And live it. And show your children how to do money well, all right? This is what Proverbs says. Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty.
So good.
The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Hey, you want to get somewhere with money? You got to have a plan. You got to be diligent. You got to work the plan.
Just stay with it.
And show your kids how to do it.
We literally say it's just one day after another, right?
One day after another.
And then you wake up and then you're where you want to be.
Yep.
So yeah, just one foot in front of the other, one day after another.
You can do this. It's important. Your kids need you to do it. All right. Well, I think that's it. Babe, you have anything you want to say?
No, why do you always ask me that
podcasts? I feel like at the end of the podcast...
I will interrupt you if I want to say...
No, I feel like at the end, like you were like, when we shut it down, you're like, you come up with this goal. I'm like, holy crap, why didn't you say that on the podcast?
I don't know. It just comes to me sometimes.
All right,
but
well...
No, I'm...
Well, then maybe here... Hey, listen, how watch this segue. Maybe we could put that on our YouTube channel.
Oh, that could be...
Which, well, hey, by the way, did you know we have a YouTube channel? Good on YouTube. First Half Parenting, all right? And there you'll find all of the gold that Sherry has to offer, which comes up after the podcast. I know, I got to be better. Our website, firsthalfparenting.com. We've got some links on there to various books that have been helpful for us in the parenting process. And you can also find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean. Hey, guys, if you find this podcast helpful, will you please share it with your friends and other people that might find it helpful? Please share it on your social media. Give it a like on our social media resources, Instagram, Facebook. It's a big deal. And always, if you have questions, you can send them to us. If you have something that you want us to discuss on the podcast, hit us up. You can email us at paul@firsthalfparenting.com. All right? Well, babe, I think that's it, unless you got any gold laying around you want to throw out there.
No gold today?
No gold today. All righty, guys. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.